said nothing, but all the time she was sewing, she kept pricking her fingers, which she forthwith put in her mouth to suck. Charles was surprised to see how white her nails were. They were brilliant and tapering, polished like bits of Dieppe ivory, and trimmed like almonds. Her hands, however, were not beautiful, perhaps a shade too red and a little hard in the fingers. She herself was too tall, and her figure lacked the soft, caressing outline. Her good point was her eyes. They were dark, but her long lashes made them seem black, and she looked at him frankly, with a sort of fearless candour. As soon as the leg was set, the doctor was invited by Monsieur Rouault himself to have a bite before he left. Charles went down into the room below. Two places, gleaming with silver plate, had been laid on a small table at the foot of a great four-poster, hung with chintz, with pictures of Turks on it. They began by talking about the patient, and from that went on to the weather and the severe cold and the wolves that roamed the country by night. Mademoiselle Rouault did not care much for the country, especially now she had almost all the responsibility of the farm on her shoulders. The room was chilly, and she shivered all the time she was eating. This helped to display her full lips, which she had a trick of biting whenever there was a lull in the conversation. Her neck was encircled by a white, turned-down collar. Her hair, which was so smooth that the two dark strands seemed to be all of a piece, was parted in the middle by a thin line that dipped slightly with the curve of her skull, and almost hiding her ears, was gathered together behind in a copious chignon. Her hair was waved about the temples, a thing which our country doctor had never seen in his life before. She had plenty of colour in her cheeks, and wore a pair of tortoise-shell eyeglasses on a cord attached to a button of her bodice. When Charles, who had been upstairs to say goodbye to the farmer, came back into the parlour before leaving, he found her standing by the window looking out into the garden at the beansticks that had been blown down by the wind. She turned around. "Are you looking for anything?" she asked. "Thanks, I'm trying to find my riding whip," he replied. And he began to grope about on the bed, behind the doors, under the chairs. It had slipped down between the sacks and the wall. Mademoiselle Emma caught sight of it and began to reach down over the sacks. Charles gallantly hastened to her assistance, and as he too extended his arm in the same direction, he felt the young woman's back as she bent down, rubbing against his chest. She got up, red all over, and looking at him over...